A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Recently, a purported photograph of Joseph Smith has been found. I've had discussions about it with a number of people. And that brings to mind the idea of what photographs of Joseph Smith that are purportedly out there are real, which ones do we absolutely know are not real, and which ones might be. So Joseph's physical appearance is our topic today. And we also have, in addition to these photographs, some descriptions of that. I'm also, time permitting, going to talk about Joseph Smith's athletic abilities, which are not without some blemish. No, he was not undefeated in athletics, as some claim. And I'd like to focus mostly about his personality, because there are some fascinating descriptions about Joseph Smith's personality. Let's start off with his appearance. One of my favorites is from Josiah Quincy III, who was well-regarded, highly educated, from Massachusetts, and who also did not have an axe to grind one way or another about Joseph Smith. When he met Joseph in Nauvoo, here's Josiah Quincy III's description. Quote, he was a hardy athletic fellow with blue eyes standing prominently out upon his light complexion, a long nose and a retreating forehead. He wore striped pantaloons, a linen jacket, which had not lately seen the washtub, and a beard of some 3 days' growth. This was the founder of the religion which had been preached in every quarter of the earth. He was a fine-looking man, and anyone who saw him would have instinctively thought that upon meeting this remarkable individual. Close quote. So, do you think of Joseph Smith as wearing striped pants and having a dirty, dirty jacket on that needed to be washed, and of having 3 days' worth of razor stubble? Probably not, because we live in a time when it's easy to get a bath and easy to wash one's clothing. Other things you may not know about Joseph Smith, and this comes from a number of different places, that because no one could get a haircut extremely often, Joseph Smith would take a crop of his hair from the top of his head and pull it back, and then one from each side above his ears and put a little clip. So you had this three-piece small little ponytail with a clip. And again, it wasn't long, just until he could get his next haircut. But one does not often think of Joseph Smith as a guy with a ponytail and hair clipped together. We also know that there are widely varying descriptions about his height and weight, but we do know with accuracy, because of some later descriptions, how tall Joseph Smith was. The descriptions from people who saw him are mostly estimates, and they range, interestingly enough, from 150 pounds to about 230. People thought that he might be 5'10". Some thought he was as tall as 6'4". John Smith, the son of Hiram, so Joseph Smith's nephew, saw both his father Hiram and Joseph Smith weighed and measured for height. And John Smith said that Joseph Smith weighed 212 and that his father Hiram weighed 210 and that Joseph Smith was exactly 6 feet tall and that his father Hiram was 5'11 and a half. So the brothers were almost identical in height, less than half an inch different, and within a pound or two of each other in how much they weighed. The descriptions of Joseph Smith are that he had golden or light brown hair. In today's parlance, you might say he was a dishwater blonde or he was light brown. He had light brown hair that apparently was bleached out a bit from the sun, so hence the description of golden along with it. He had light complexion skin that was described as uniform or clear, and he had blue eyes and a large Roman nose, which is often not noted from his photograph and from the paintings of him because they are taken from straight on, and you can't quite see his nose. But he was described as a good-looking man by most of the women who saw him. One, Jane Richards, said this: "The first time I ever saw Joseph Smith, he had a countenance as I never saw before. He was then 37 years of age, so just a year before he was killed. His appearance was ordinary in dress. His manner was somewhat childlike in appearance in that he had this innocent look. His hair was light brown, blue eyes, light complexion. His natural demeanor was quiet. His character and disposition was formed by his life's work," meaning that he was very strong. "He was kind and considerate, taking a personal interest in all people, considering everyone his equal. We were regular in our attendance at the meetings," meaning the LDS church meetings, "and I was always anxious to hear Brother Joseph's remarks," close quote. Other descriptions of Joseph Smith are that he spoke to everyone as an equal. He played with children and talked to them just like they were his equal. He did not talk down to children. He spoke with those who were uneducated and greatly educated just as equals. One of the more fascinating descriptions of Joseph Smith by his son, Joseph Smith III, was that he once saw Joseph Smith kneeling on the grass with Indians, which we would today call Native Americans, or indigenous peoples, and he was speaking with them one-to-one, all given the same respect, which I find remarkable, especially for that era. There's a description of him that was done by a woman named Eunice Snow. Quote, "Some of the most impressive moments of my life were when I saw the Nauvoo Legion on parade, with Joseph Smith leading them on horseback. It was indeed an imposing sight. He was fair, and his riding habits were exceptional." Have you ever heard about Joseph Smith's riding ability? I find that interesting. He was apparently a good horseman. Here's another description, this by George Taggart. "Joe Smith was a young, good-looking man for his age, which is near 38, so this is close to his death, and one of the kindest looking men in the country. He does not pretend to be a man without failings or follies. He is a man you could not help liking, because he treats one as he treats all, which is with kindness and respect and with the great ability to listen," close quote. Now, isn't that fascinating that Joseph Smith, who is known for his eloquence as a speaker, was a great listener? I find that amazing. This is one by a gentleman, and since we're running out of time, I'll defer his name, and it says, quote, he had a free and easy manner, not the least affectation about it. Yet he was bold and independent and very interesting and eloquent in his speech. Close quote. Today we're talking about Joseph Smith, his appearance, the photographs of him, which ones are genuine, which aren't, in my opinion. When we come back, stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. If you have a question or comment about this program, feel free to send me an email to martinstanner@gmail.com. martinstanner@gmail.com, and I will be happy to respond. One of the things that I wanted to jump into at this point is the discussion about photographs that have purportedly been found of Joseph Smith. There are a few that are of a young Joseph Smith. One, if you looked at it, that you would say, well, if that's Joseph Smith, he's pretty young. Can't be any more than perhaps in his mid-20s. And this is one that started circulating about 15 years ago. There's a huge problem with this one. It can't be Joseph Smith in his 20s because photography wasn't around when Joseph Smith was in his 20s. Photography was invented by a Frenchman named Daguerreau. The first photographs were called daguerreotypes, and he invented that style of photography in 1839 and developed it over the next several years in Europe. Photography hit the East Coast a few years before Joseph Smith's death and only appeared in Nauvoo probably early in 1844. Which is the year Joseph Smith was killed. Hence, early pictures of Joseph Smith are impossible. Photography was just not available. Now, there is a new photograph that was apparently recently found in a locket. I've looked at it quite carefully. My personal opinion is that it is not Joseph Smith. And I base that on several things. First of all, I have copies, actual exact copies of the death masks of Joseph Smith and Hiram. And if I were to venture a guess, I'd say the photograph in the locket is probably Hiram rather than Joseph. Although I'm not even sure about that. It could have been a photograph of David Whitmer, but I do not believe it's a photograph of Joseph Smith. The sides of the eyebrows start to go down in this new photograph. Joseph Smith's eyebrows were pretty uniform and straight all the way across. The nose is wider than that of Joseph Smith in the only known photograph of him and also of the death masks. Also, the mouth in the new photograph is quite a bit wider. It just doesn't quite work. Now, there is a photograph, at least one, probably two, of Joseph Smith, which we know for sure one is true from the Library of Congress. And that was submitted by Joseph Smith III. It's claimed by some that that's a photograph of a painting, which is not correct. And the reason that it is not a photograph of a painting is because if you have a clear, good copy of the Library of Congress photograph of Joseph Smith, you can see details in the fabric. No artist would have put those there. You can also see where Joseph Smith's coat had been stitched, where it had been torn. No artist would have placed that in a painting either. The Library of Congress photo is definitely a photograph, and it was from that photograph, probably in all likelihood, that the paintings that are well known of Joseph Smith were taken from. And so if you take a look and want to see what is in all likelihood, not 100% certainty, but in all likelihood, the only known photograph of Joseph Smith, you can take a look at that one from the Library of Congress. There's also either a duplicate or the original from which that one was taken that's also available from a wonderful person who has them online. So you could take a look for those as well. All right, let's take a look in the minutes that we have remaining about Joseph Smith's personality and about his athletic ability and his endeavors. First of all, Joseph Smith had a sense of humor. He was often known to make innocent, teasing remarks about people and to receive them as well by many of those who were his friends, family, and colleagues in church and in business. He was an athletic individual. He was known to wrestle and pull sticks. He was often in snowball fights with children. He played ball with them. What does that mean for that era? They threw a ball over a roof or hit a ball with wooden paddles. He also did a standing long jump, which in that era was called jump the mark. He was known to slide across ice and snow with children, kind of like kids do today on the school grounds. He played marbles, and he liked to fish, all of those with children. Those are things that we don't often think of a prophet doing, and yet he did, and he enjoyed it quite a bit. One of the other comments that you hear about Joseph Smith was that he was never defeated, and that's not quite true. There was an example where people tried to push him into having a contest with a guy named Cornelius Lott, who was an older gentleman. And indeed, he did have this particular endeavor with Cornelius Lott. And what happened was that despite the fact that Brother Lott was well into his 60s, he was described as an elderly gentleman. Cornelius Lott was never thrown and by Joseph Smith when they wrestled. And those who were there, Joseph Smith's son, had this comment after the contest, quote, "They ran together several times, but the best father could do was to get the old man down onto his knees. He gave up the effort to throw the sturdy old fellow," close quote. At the end of that, what happened was that some of the people with Joseph Smith teased Joseph Smith a little bit, and Cornelius Lott jumped in and said, "I told you, my boy," referring to the prophet, "that you couldn't throw old man Lott," close quote. I think that's kind of funny. But that would have certainly been the exception rather than the rule. Joseph Smith was apparently very, very strong for his stature. Now to his personality. Joseph Smith loved animals. He actually had a dog named Old Major that was given to him while on Zion's camp. He loved the dog. We know this because he actually inquired about Old Major in some of his letters. Old Major, sadly, outlived Joseph Smith. Old Major is mentioned in a few diary entries after Joseph and Hiram were killed. Many people describe Joseph Smith's temperament as one of kindness and of caring about all those with whom he came in contact. So that is why he would listen so intently to those with whom he would meet and with whom he would discuss religious and other principles. He would listen to others. He would also respond with his own comments. And yet the point to make here is that he was kind. He was by nature introverted, not outgoing, as many would probably guess. He had this intent, that was always seen as one that gave the idea that one cared or was cared about from Joseph Smith. Why? Because he would look you from a number of diary reentries straight in the eye, it is told, when you were speaking with him. He would watch you intently and listen to every word you had to say. Remarkable man. I hope this has helped you get a little bit more of a sense of what Joseph Smith's personality was actually like.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless, and I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story, the struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.